Hi, James. It's Anthony from MMA Legal. Are you all right to speak at the minute?
Yeah, that's fair.
Lovely. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the call, and then if there's any bits that I think that we can support you with, I'll write them at the end, and then go through that with you. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so in order to be compliant with our data protection, because I'd like to obviously call you back, can you just reconfirm for me your date of birth and your address?
It is 12th of March 1999, and it is right at the 27 McDowell Street, in Johnston, Selfish Mine, postcode PA58QJ.
So I've got flat D1212.
Yeah, that'll be correct, yes, but then sometimes if I get letters like from different organisations or things, so some it come up flat D1212.
Oh, so that's okay, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so if there's anything regarding the call, I will need to make a referral to, obviously, the local authority. I would discuss it with you in the first case. Perfect. And also, that all our calls are recorded for 5 seasons. Are you happy to continue with that? Okay. So, if this is about the impact of care, okay, there's specific questions that I'm going to ask to gather that information. So, what age did you go into care?
15.
Do you remember what they called her? Any random?
Well, they said that I can so.
Lovely, thank you. And we've got down James Thomas here. Have you got any other names that you would know by or any nicknames for?
No, not that I'm aware of. But on my birth certificate, it's got my father's surname, my dad's surname, but my mum's never used my father's surname for myself. It's only been weird. And I said to my mum about it, and she said, "You think I'm doing?" I'm like, "No, that's your joke." So, on the birth certificate, it said where I was born and all that, though. So, I was born in Paisley.
Okay, so let me put on birth certificate. What's
the surname? Okay, on my birth certificate, it's
called FORRESD.
Yeah.
Okay, and the care settings I've got down is National Health. Is there any other care settings that you're learning?
Sorry, did you say Newfield Coaster?
I pronounced it Nuffield. That could be Nuffield. Yeah.
It's not the Scottish pronunciation.
Yeah.
It used to be Newfield. So the thing is, it was my brother, my big brother, referred you to yourself. He sent to me, contact them, bro. Because they'll be there to you. And I'm like, well, that'd be good, man. And then, I thought about yourselves and that, and it was my brother that said to me about Newfield and what happened to him in Newfield.
Yeah.
But even when I was there, I don't know how it happened, but when I was there, the name got changed. Yeah, correct. And when, do you know, I've done this with everybody before the day before, and before I spoke to Michael, the solicitor, and it was really strange, but from the time that I was there staying now, the building's no longer there. They've done a new building, but it's at the front of the estate, the front of the land, and it's like a tight house, not like a big mansion sort of looking house.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say to myself every time I walk past, why is this place not that building then? What's the reason? Is it because of something? Was it like to do with the abuse and all that? Like people were getting put under? You know, so yeah.
We won't know that answer.
No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. But that, you know, that's the questions that we have. Why did you so care? You know, as victims.
So, did you go to any other care settings at all?
Yeah.
It should, right? But
okay.
Yeah. And I can explain it in detail, but it's not a story to hear, but it's got to be told because it's just
Can I just stop you for a second? Okay, so there's certain information that I need to use for this call to be able to progress your claim. You've already given a statement of some of the information. I don't want to recall the information that's already been given, okay, because it's emotive and it can upset you and it can also trigger any mental health, okay? So I want to set that boundary today. And then when we get your subject access request, that's when we go back through things, okay? So we need to get the right information today for the call, and obviously we need to make sure that we support you in the right way, which is why I don't want to recall that information again today. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay.
But it's about understanding what our role is and what each call will be. So what I will do, it will be me that will be dealing with you from now to the end of your claim, and I will make sure that we can get that through and done in the right way for you. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
No problem. So whilst you went to Rowan Lee, what school did you attend?
I was in Castlehead High School, and that's at Camp Hill in Paisley, so I was in there, but because of ADHD, I made my autism difficult, so they put them to the Kibble School.
Yeah.
And then that's been the problem. Yeah, so that was easy there, but...
Yeah, and a lot of people with ADHD and, you know, autism, they do struggle in school settings. You know, it's very known that they're not ideal.
There's reasons why I didn't attend school, because I was being bullied on a daily basis.
Yeah, so that might be.
Yeah, I was being bullied. People were calling me
and it's horrific, isn't it, when you're growing up and you're trying to make sense of the world and you're trying to understand who you are, you know, and if you didn't know that you had autism and ADHD, that would have been really difficult.
I came to with my friends from primary school a few months ago.
Yeah.
I said, you know, this happened and this is what keeps me still going. My two days, best friends from school came to me, was in the same house. They stood up, they came towards me, they gave me a hug and I kissed my cheek, and the hug was like a big hug, you know?
Yeah, proper
hug. And as I said to my boys, I was like, guys, I don't drink anymore. They were looking at each other like, is he thinking this? And it was great, you know, and that's something that I thrive off, is being there for people. And letting see people, letting people see the change that can happen when you don't take drugs or alcohol, you know, but...
Yeah. Okay. So did you self-prescribe then, like, what I mean by that is?
I was an alcoholic for 20 years old.
Yeah, and what age did you start drinking, James?
14-year-old.
Yeah. And when did you start?
3 years ago. Two years, one month ago, I was put on antivirus, and I've been sober ever since. I just have a blip about 7 months ago. I had the 10 mils that I had bought a bus last.
Yeah.
Like Mark, saying maybe that was the antivirus. But, you know, that day, I will, well, that day, that night, when before I went to sleep, I prayed to Big Man up the stairs, I said, you let me wake up the next day and I swear on yourself that if I do wake up, I'll never do that mistake again. And I woke up the next day and I've been sober ever since.
So, did you have any issues with drugs?
I was, even when you're younger and you're given a lot of things, you know, that you can handle it.
Yeah.
Especially when you've seen that. It's difficult to see in the
town. Did you ever do drugs?
I used to pop gangers.
Yeah, and what age did you do that?
Goodness me, it was my cousin that actually got me in that. About
Yeah. 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 That's my cousin. That's all right. So it's just to get a guess of it, really. Obviously, it's a long time ago. Okay. You know, we're not gonna.
I don't want to be doing it anymore, you know, so I've sworn to myself by Monday I'm going to be going off drugs completely because I just can't evolve it. Even so, Frederick, so expensive, not just to your head.
Right, Jim, so I used to work in drug and alcohol services and I was a doctor. You cannot just go cold turkey when you've been on substances for that amount of time.
I know, but I had no choice, because I was in Aberdeen visiting a friend, and what happened was I spent £681 just going over there. I get nothing out of it, apart from going for a couple of groceries.
So, there is a choice, okay? So, what I can do is I will give you information for a drug and alcohol support agency.
Well,
okay.
I've got that. I don't need that. I've got that. I've got my own alcohol worker and drug worker.
Okay, so make sure you speak to them before you do it, because potentially, I don't know what other substance you're using, but if you are using... Right, okay. So you do need to make sure that you... do it properly. Because you can end up very poorly, and it does affect your mental health. It doesn't just physical health as well. So you really do need to make sure you engage with them, make a plan, and follow that plan. Do you think you could do that?
I do think I bought a moving bike then, isn't it?
Well, I think you're going to need more than the mountain bike. I think you're going to need a support worker.
I can get up to 30 miles in my mountain bike.
Brilliant. Okay, so let me go back to some of these questions you've got. So who's your GP that you're registered with at the moment?
Oh, well, your guess is as good as mine, but I can give you that. So the old doctor that I used to see is no longer in that surgery, in the surgery that I'm with. All the old doctors have left, so it's all new doctors. But the practice that I'm with is Quarry State, the medical practice.
Quarry State?
Quarry, Q-U-A-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
And then South, the Quarry State.
Medical practice.
Medical practice.
Whereabouts is that?
Okay. It's close Street and Johnston.
So you mentioned you've got a drug and alcohol worker, and what agency are they with?
The building's RDS, and it's with Renfrewshire Council. It's all things that Renfrewshire Council like that. But they're all professionals, and they know which comes from drug and alcohol.
Brilliant, excellent. Okay, have you got anyone else that's supporting you at the moment?
Yes, I have my ADHD doctor, Dr. Edwards. He's based up at the Charleston Centre on Euston Road in Paisley.
Charleston.
I have my doctor, alcohol doctor, psychiatrist, Dr. Ashraf. He's based up at Tolly Unit in Diaper Hospital.
Oh, bear me for a second. I'm trying to write it all down as you're speaking. I've got a psychiatrist. Whereabouts are they based?
My psychiatrist, but he's also my alcohol worker, my alcohol doctor, so he's in charge of the prescription and medication and stuff. He's the man that keeps me on the antabus in the campus too.
So, is that community mental health team?
Sorry, what was that?
Is it under a community mental health team?
Depression or anxiety.
I've got to explain, pal. It's in a local psychiatric hospital. It's in the grounds of the hospital, but it's a different unit. It's connected to RDS, but the taller unit, they work with RDS, but it's separate. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. And it's
taller
unit.
Yeah.
And it's taller unit.
Yeah, the taller unit up at like far.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
far
hospital.
Big far. DYKE. Yeah. E-A-R.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Any other ones supporting you at the moment?
My CPN, Community Psychiatric Nurse, Rebecca Loudon.
And what's the education under?
She's based at the Millennium Centre in Paisley.
Okay.
And you clear? Yeah, I've had my housing support worker, Paul Mann. He's known me since I was a child because he used to be one of the staff members in my sister's children's home.
And what company is that that you work for? Lovely. Anybody else? Yeah, brilliant. What mental health diagnosis have you got diagnosed?
I've got severe depression anxiety. I've got ADHD, I've got PTSD, I've just been diagnosed with a thing called PBD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar, then recently with my CPN Rebecca, she gives me a referral to the office and assistant.
You can't have PTSD and the bipolar as one diagnosis. You've probably got PTSD and bipolar.
Well done. So see this lady that I've seen at the Myelin Center, she was a CPN, I've never met her before. And she says to me that I had that diagnosis Dr. Edwards up at the Parkinson Center, my DHD doctor, said to me, saying, you get the PTSD, son. Seriously. And I said to my, I know that. I said, so I said to my doctor, the next time I see him, I'm going to have him written down a journal of my day-to-day living and how I'm experiencing life. And then I'll put it to my doctor and see what she's doing to me.
Yeah. It might be worthwhile asking about personality disorder.
Do you know what's so sad about it?
Yeah.
My life was turned upside down from the age of 7 when I was when I was sexually assaulted. And from the age of 7 right up to my late 20s, it's just been But then from that time where I put myself completely away, and I went and said, no, I need to go to the speech marks. It's easier, but you're still reminded with it in the head. Do you know what I mean? That's what I've just gone.
So, James, it's not a difficult process. I mean, it's a difficult process to go through. It's not easy. You have got a lot of diagnoses that actually clash with each other as well. So, your frequent example, your ADHD with your PTSD, that's working against each other, they're not easy. Having personality disorder, that is more difficult as well. If you have autism on top of those, they are all conflicting, they're not easy diagnoses to live every day with, okay? So don't be too hard on yourself, okay? If you need to ask for help, that's what you need to do.
I never asked for any of this.
No, and it's not your fault.
I used to be a people person, and it's changing because of the people that were in my life who were supposed to be, I was supposed to be safe with.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of support around you at the moment. The only thing that I can think of with is maybe a parenting assessment, and I'm only thinking about that because of the difficulties in your everyday life making those individual diagnosis. You may be struggling with some things at home, so what it might be worthwhile, I think you could have been tested for adult facial care, okay? They can do it here.
Sorry, Katie, again, I just can't hear you that clear because of your calls, but
yeah, so adult facial care, they can do a care needs assessment with you to assess whether or not you need any support and help.
And you need supported accommodation, because one of my friends said to me, you've been supported accommodation.
I agree. With the diagnosis that you said, I personally think that you will probably struggle at home being independent. So I'll send you the information for adult facial care, okay? And you can give them a call today after our call, and you can ask for a care needs assessment. I'll put it on the text message for you.
Thank you.
You literally just click on the link, and then it should take you through to the right page, and then you can give them a call, okay? So they will probably be the main point of contact for you, and they will coordinate most of your care going forward.
I don't even like living here anymore because people come inside my doors and all that, and they...
Tell them that's kicking in when you speak to adult social care. I can do the safeguarding referral.
To my housing officer, you know, that's how bad it was.
Do they get into your house?
No, if they did, they didn't hurt.
Right, okay, so that's just a tentative question,
yeah?
Yeah,
just
having table things. Okay. Let's get that. I'll do a safeguarding referral, if you're alright with me to do that. Okay, so my safeguarding referral, I'll tell you what I'm going to say in it. Basically, that you're a vulnerable adult and you've got complex diagnosis, and that you're struggling with independence at home. Your preference would be supported accommodation. And you are at risk for exploitation and abuse. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Lovely, that's no problem. Okay, so let's do some more questions so we can get a bit more info for you, for your clients. Have you got any physical health things?
Physical?
Yeah, so have you got like cancer or heart problems or anything like that?
No, I just have metal in my right leg because of a bar in 2009.
Okay, does that implicate your physical health? Does it affect your ability?
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to contact the Universal Credit, that's the people with, unfortunately, when I'm getting a nursing, but every time that I'm out, I'm going to struggle with walking and the ability staying up. So, and then when I'm trying to carry bags and stuff, that's difficult. And even like when I'm not going into the shopping such as it's just a walk, exercise, I'm noticing that I'm getting out of breath a lot more quicker.
So, do you mean you're trying to get
fit? Yeah, I already get adult disabilities benefits, and that's the problem in Scotland.
Yeah, have you got that?
I do get that, yeah, but it seems because I don't think I get that, but I'm not sure, but I don't think my metal in my leg is everything's on the computer. I don't know if that's actually the one.
What I can mention is that you know, when I do the safeguarding, it benefits from a benefit check as well. Just to make sure that you can have that money for everything and you need the right support at home. Yeah, okay. Have you been in hospital for mental health?
Yes, I've been in hospital.
Can you remember which one you went to?
Big Fat Hospital, Big Fat.
So Bath Hospital, Southwood.
The last hospital that I've been to was an alcohol doctor.
Yeah, is that where it all began?
Yeah, so that was the first time I was put in a hospital. Yeah, that was a Big Bath Hospital, Southwood. And then after that, maybe a couple of years or a few years after, I was put in the Evandale Hospital. And then in my 20s, I was in St John's Hospital in Livingston, psychiatric unit.
Yeah. So I've got a Livingdale Hospital. Where was the other one, sorry?
So I'm going to pronounce the first hospital you said. D-Y-K-E-B-A-R.
Psych
Bar. Psych Bar, hospital.
Psych Bar, sorry.
Is it two different hospitals? I was in psychiatric unit there, and then I've been in St John's Hospital in Livingston. That was the psychiatric unit.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the unit.
Have you experienced psychosis as well? I've been thinking about diagnosis. So if you smoke cannabis, sometimes that can happen.
That's a good question. So, you know, I put that to the nurses that I've seen. And I said to them what I think I'm suffering from. I said to them, I think I'm suffering from paranoid schizophrenia. And I said to the nurse also, and it was like during the call that she made to me, but previously when I seen her nurse calling, and I said to her, so paranoid schizophrenia, and also I think I've got bipolar, because one of my old friends, because he's an idiot, so I wiped my hands with him, but when I recently seen him, he said to me, James, he's got bipolar then, because you're always up and down. And I said to myself,
that's ADHD and your personality disorder, that doesn't mean bipolar.
It's difficult to hear it from all of, I know that you're like a professional and that, and all that, but for the people that, I suppose I
have bipolar. It means like you have it for long periods of time. Like you would be, like with ADHD and personality disorder, you can go up and down throughout the day.
I do that every day.
But if you were bipolar, you would be down for a significant amount of time, and then you would be manic for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, that's why I've been here.
Yeah, so it, from what you said, you're doing that every single day, going up and down, up and down. That's not bipolar. Okay, and a lot of people who've got autism and ADHD get misdiagnosed with bipolar, okay? That is a common fact. So what you'll find is that you probably have got the right diagnosis and the autism one alongside the ones you've got. It's then learning how they impact you so you can understand what you do, why you do it. You know, so you can understand you more.
Yeah, you're right. And I even noticed myself with, like, the autism assessment is coming up. I struggle with bright lights, even if it's outside and it's so sunny. I come into the house, it's so bright, I get no lights on, it's bright as night. I struggle with loud noise, loud music.
So have you heard of something called sensory processing disorder?
Do you know what you could do? You could put that on to your internet. I'll go to the library and I'll research it.
So that is exactly what you just described. Okay, so you can be noise sensitive, you can be smell sensitive, you can be environmental sensitive, so that can be...
Even on the ground. Yeah. When I'm in my house, I tiptoe around and I don't like...
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about too much about getting the bipolar diagnosis because I don't think somebody
said that.
I think just focus on that. I think you've got to be one step at a time with that. So James, just for this claim, we gather these bits of information about you because obviously if things were made whilst you're in care, they could have been picked out, you know, by them. And obviously the impact of that could be that you've done self-harm and that you've had thoughts spent your life and made a tent. Now, you shared with me that you've been in hospital, so I'm going to make an educated guess in that things were tense to end your life.
I know it's because of that in my life, but it's also psychiatrist. We need to be there to be able to figure out what's going on in my mental health. And then see back when I was in Diaper Hospital in the South Ward, two doctors, even back then, said to me, I've got post-traumatic stress disorder. Thing that I don't drink anymore, but that's what they said to me back then.
Do not take caffeine and do not have alcohol with ADHD meds. Any caffeine can obviously affect that as well.
I'm on the highest dosage for methamphetamine.
So, what brand have you got? There's different ones, isn't there?
But it starts with a name that's about 12 letters long.
Metho something, isn't it? Metho.
Methylazine or something like that?
So I've got ADHD on my name and I take something called L-Van.
I've not heard of that before. I've just done a new thing that's come out recently. I've not long ago.
No, it's been out for quite a while now, but everybody has to take ones that are more for them. Does that make sense? So because you've probably got other medication as well, like I've got other medication, they've got to make sure that it's the right one for you. So that's probably why you've ended up in hospital, to make sure that they put you on the right dosage and you're not going to have any other effects from that. With the other medication as well that you're on.
Well, Dr. Ashraf, he said to me that what you want is the recommendation. Yeah, I agree with that, I said, but obviously we don't want to get on too much medication. I'm on 14 tablets, minimum, a day, you know.
Yeah.
I said to Dr. Ashraf, it'll be a lot easier for me and clarification and put my mind at ease when this assessment comes through, you know, and just get it finished.
Sometimes you need that diagnosis to make sense of who you are as a person as well. And then...
It's also helpful for me because I'll be able to tell my friends and family. I've had tears in my eyes, tears in my face.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a massive relief for me and my friends and family to know.
Yeah.
And anybody else who's ever met me to know.
Yeah, and you know, it's really hard for some people to get a diagnosis, but it also is for some people who's, oh, well, that's why I do that. You know, it kind of makes sense.
Even your only blood relative, my sister Debbie, she's my only blood relative, sibling, and she says to me, James, have you got autism? So, you know, the trainer, your own family know you better than yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm just always struggling to say to anybody, and then my sister says to me, she's like, we're not getting worried about her. And I'm like, yeah. I've heard about autism not so many times. And
there's different, if you know that it's on a spectrum, same as ADHD, yeah? We are a spectrum, okay? Right, so you can have somebody that can have communication difficulties or socialization difficulties, but they are a high achiever. You know, they can smash out, you know, your school work and be absolutely fine with that, but they couldn't even go to a party. You know, and then you've got other people who can't vocalise things and they struggle with vocabulary.
Well, that's a good point you're putting, because a few, last year, summertime it would have been, I went to a wee place, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, M&D Screen Park, the way at Motherwell, just outside Glasgow. Mm-hmm. I went there with my sister Debbie, my stepbrother, my mum's boy, Jamie, his wife, my sister Debbie's boy, my niece, two of my sister-in-laws, a friend, and you know what, it's supposed to be one of the best days ever, but it was one of the most crazy, what I've experienced, like, just seeing all those people and all that, completely gone.
Do you know why?
Can
I tell you why that you felt like that? So if you have ADHD and autism, you will struggle with those environments. Everybody has, I call it when people cool out. So you can be overwhelmed by being near too many people. The noise is too loud, the smells are too much, the lights are too much, and you just have to go home. And the only way to de-escalate is to go somewhere quiet and allow that time for you to come back down.
Can I just say something? I think they have lost a pretty good person yourself, but to your employers just now, they got an incredible person.
But I'm here to
make sure. Yeah, but the thing is, what you just said to me, it really put my
mind at ease. Yeah.
Because I no longer have to worry about not turning up in things. Even when I went to M&D's with my family and friends and such, and nieces and nephews. Well, niece and nephew, and you know, I said to all my family even then, I'm sorry, it just wasn't my day.
You don't need to ever say sorry, okay?
I know my best is, because obviously it's a friend and family, and you mean a lot to me.
I know why you're doing it, but what you need to be confident in and is sharing with them that your needs will change, okay? There's nothing wrong with that, okay? This world, every single person is completely different and we've all got completely different needs, okay? So it's about your friends and your family getting more educated about what ADHD is and what autism is and how that impacts you in your daily life. If you imagine you've got 10 spoons in the morning, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got those 10 spoons and you wake up, yeah? So to get dressed and get sorted in the morning for ADHD, autism, I'm going to say it takes about 3 spoons to get out that door, yeah?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so how many spoons have you got left now? 7? So 7 spoons you've got left, and you've got to get through the rest of your day, and all that those 3 spoons have done is manage to get yourself dressed, shower, eat, breakfast, and get out the door. But for neurodivergent of people, it's a lot, okay? Then you've got to try and manage to do something else for the rest of the day. You've got 7 spoons to do it, but it takes a lot to do anything. So like going to a supermarket in the busy time, so you go to lunch time, that's probably going to take 5 spoons. You've got 2 spoons left, yeah? So, say you've gone to the supermarket, you've used those five spoons, you've got two spoons left for the day. So, you realise that you've got to make four phone calls. Yeah? It's not to make a phone call when you're neurodivergent. Yeah? So, you can't make the four because you've only got two spoons left. Yeah? So, how are you going to make your decision? So, you just make one phone call, and that's it for the day. You're overwhelmed, you can't do any more, that's it. Yeah? That's the way that a quick way of describing how much effort it takes to do things when you're trying to get through your day. Yeah?
You know, you're the only person, and this is the God honest truth of my mum's life, and she's still here. You're the only person that's ever said that to me.
Mm.
And you know what, I feel like it's rubbish because I've been in a situation in my life where you meet people and all that, you know, and it's like, even my housing support worker, I've known the guy since I was a kid, and I see him as my friend and my mate, and he's the same, but he's like, I difficult to see, like, I was just thinking, like, I'd love to be actually your friend, man, because if you know how difficult it is nowadays to have friends that have got the same diagnosis as yourself, ADHD, it's difficult, and it's so good to hear somebody like yourself. You've really changed me. You've actually made me a lot more positive.
Good.
And it's like, you know, I'm going to put a post on my Facebook, and I'm just going to put out, you know, I've through a lot of that in the past, not in for anybody, I'm sorry, not, but you know, I'll do it the right way, and I'll get so many people giving me positivity back, and that's what I need, so I appreciate it.
That's all right. So, throughout this journey, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, okay? But I will be there, and I'll be able to support you through and make sure that we get everything done for you.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean yourself. Even you know and you hear of a beautiful person, a lovely voice, and they're so heartwarming, you know. You want to meet that person, you want to be friends with the people, you know. And it's just rubbish, because it's like, sometimes we can't even get our ass to do it again, because it's not just, you know, like, hopefully.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do here is, because I think it's really important, like you've just made a good point, is I'm going to see what autism and ADHD adult groups you've got nearby, because I think you need to know. And just have a chat with other people and
I've been single 8 years, but it's because the alcohol, I'm still friends with my ex-girlfriend, and I said, you know, it's all about having the people that were there in your life who made you happy, and people that were supportive and helpful. If they're in your life, that's all you need.
Yeah. Right.
Your fingers up to the doubters, Laura. You know,
exactly.
It's good that people like yourself are still about it. And it's not been about it, like, what I mean is, it's very rare to get somebody like yourself that's just as open and honest, and, you know, that's what you need to do a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So, let's get this written down. What age did you start doing self-harm, James?
Sorry, I was about 11. See, this is all being the social work report, because there's a lot of things that,
Is it like cutting yourself, or?
Oh, no, I would never tell anybody about that, no. No, even as a teenager.
Did you do that, though?
Yes, but see, if you told anybody, even if they say about the classroom, that's what would happen, but it would be worse.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I wasn't even doing it like that in the children's home, and I was getting locked in my room, very close.
Yeah.
And they locked the door to the key out and left me in the room for hours on end.
Did you ever pull your hair out, James, or pick at your skin, or eyebrows, eyelashes?
Really? Do you want my mum's phone number?
No, I just need to write down what self-harm. Do you still do that?
No, of course not, because it's I'm a man now, you know what I mean? But there's things that I do, don't get me wrong, that I shouldn't be doing, but I do it in the house. So I came into the house one day, and I don't know why, but standing out the window, I was just getting really pissed off. And I punched the wall, and I punched it that hard that my knuckle imprint was the print was embedded. But it was...
I can tell you a technique to, because that's a lot of the time when you're punching the wall, you're actually sensory seeking. Okay, so I'm going to be joining a new Tyson. Right, I can tell you a safer suggestion. Okay, so, right, so a guy that I met, he was a council staff, right, so this man was an electrician. He came out my house last week and he was a plumber.
And he said to me, I told him everything, and because I knew he was struggling. He said to me, he's gone, I've got to this, I knew it. So I knew to it because he was buzzing out his eyes, and I said, bro, I'll turn the lights out for you. And he was so appreciative, he said to me, he's like, mate, you're right, mate. I went, I've been fucking struggling. And then I had a nice chat with him like yourself, and he said to me, do you know what, I think would be good for you. But there's one thing, he said to me, I didn't take part in because of the way that I'm angry, you know. But he said, there is one that I can do in his gym in Rutherford. I looked it up on Facebook and I'm following the page because it looks really interesting. And the people that go to it, man, that's what I need in my life. I need people like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I can tell you one way that you can leave the house. And if you feel angry and you want to get back to it, it's like this sensation that you're seeking. So
it's a little...
No, it's only, it's easier, it's much easier. You literally just need yourself on a wall. So you place your hands out in front of you as if you've got a fist, yeah? And you lean, pull your feet back, but lean on your fist against the wall.
Okay.
And it puts pressure on your fist, which is similar to what you would get when you would be punching someone. And by the time that you've done that for a couple of minutes, the sensation, you don't need to hit anyone or do anything anymore.
Jesus Christ, are you knowledgeable?
I know, I spent a long time doing all those.
How long have you been nursing for?
So I'm a mental health practitioner, 11 years.
So that's the old, isn't it, practitioner?
Yeah. I know. Old now. Anyway, going back to these thoughts of ending life. So, what age did you start getting thoughts of ending life, James?
What's that, sorry?
Thoughts of ending life, what age did they start?
Some... But they are eight.
Yeah. And is it still fleeting now? So you get them coming and going with
it? What is this?
Yeah,
I always wish... When I make messages later, I always wish for my little back to that door.
Who?
I was with the girl for around 8 months. Yeah. But see, when you meet somebody you know, that person, you just know that person's for you. I said to her, she's done with the alcohol.
But I think right now, it's really important that you just focus on yourself. Those harsh relationships.
No, I'm not going to lie though. It kills me, knowing, it kills me that I'm not worth it. I think she knows it.
So there's something called rejection sensitivity disorder. Which
I think it's ADHD.
Yeah, ADHD, you've got it. Right. You have it bad, okay? So that's why you feel that way. It not necessarily is a true feeling, what you're feeling.
How I wanted to marry, I wanted to have babies, what do we say? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, sometimes things happen for another reason. It wasn't just that. If it was meant to be, it would have been, isn't it? Sometimes you've got to focus on stepping forward and seeing what's next.
I said to one thing. I think I was going to do that, but I said to one thing. You're not going to make this do a change of benefits if you just stop it, you know. You know what I mean?
That's the worst thing that you could do with...
No, I know, but...
How's that going to impact you and your mental health?
up at his fingers. He's been shaking the hunger there. I feel so safe.
That's because it's somebody that's familiar.
No, it's definitely it's lost pal.
Okay. Right. Let's... I don't want you to get upset during the call about that. Okay, so... Let's move on to the next question. Is that okay? So, did you attend hospital as a child when you were in care? Have you ever received any therapy or counselling?
Yes, so when I was in the children's room, I was given counselling. I can't remember the place, but it's in Michigan. So we used to get me a taxi or the staff would take me, and then we would wait in the building, and I'd get to my counselling session on that. It's actually pretty good, so I've said to myself, I'm doing out of 10.
You wait in the room
now.
Did you say Erskine?
Yeah, E-R-S-K-I-N. So what do you say to this building, like the Johnson building and all that? It's only like 2 minutes away from the wee beach.
Nice.
The helicopters and all that, and the rivers and the steaming up and right under the...
Great.
...the water.
Yeah. That's brilliant, isn't it?
It's a good walk. I used to
call it. Is that your thing? You like cycling?
Yeah. I've cycled from where I am in Georgia. I'm a town called Tobermion, that's about 16 miles in total.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it?
I enjoy it. See, when I'm cycling, and I put my headphones on, everyone's just
better. Have you been arrested, James, or any convictions?
Yeah, all thanks to my mum's ex-husband.
What was he, was that arrested or charged?
Yeah, arrested, charged and sent to prison.
Okay, so he went to prison. What was it for?
Test by house breaking and resetting.
What was that one? You could use a bit away from the phone then.
Sorry. Test by house breaking and resetting. But the thing is, I was asked to do the job. I was young, stupid, full of drink. And then I get... Probably a couple of years after that, I get caught with a very large knife because I was going to stab myself forever, and then the police get called.
Was that with intent
to kill? I don't know what it's going to be. If you know the worst of this time, this is what I'm trying to say. It's difficult for me not to, actually just give up, because see the guy that I get caught with, when I get caught with a knife, I'm going to start my step father.
When they charged you, did they say that you've been charged with possession of a knife with intent to kill?
No, right. Just possession of a knife.
Okay, but that was the intent, was it?
They've not forgiven them. He never put him like that again. Like, I'm not going to say that to them.
But
I just say that my situation is difficult because he's a man. My mum's ex-husband, he's lived across the street from me, especially with my sister. You see where I'm going with this? So, there's a reason. And strong-minded person, like my sister says, I'm intelligent, but there isn't so much I can do for her. Because I don't even want to stay in my house anymore because the guy's running across the street. Every time I see him, I want to binge over my face and give him a fucking do.
So he's been talking to you now?
What?
And you still have these thoughts that you want to hurt him?
Not at this point. I think anybody in my shoes, any guy who's got a sister would be exactly the same. I've never, ever lifted my hand to any human being, and ladies, women, girls, nothing. That is completely wrong. And see, when I heard and my sister told me that, I could see the tears in her eyes, and for me, that's it. And, you know, I always say to myself, I take each day that comes, and that's the way I'm really.
So James, how long ago did you get charged with that possession of a knife?
Over a decade ago. Well, like, years ago. Wait, a year ago? 19 years ago?
So did you then,
and you've not done anything since then?
Bit of a piece, isn't that? But who doesn't even know from a drink?
I mean, to the stepdad.
No, God, no. And you know, that's the question I've got to ask, I want to ask, like, with his being an ex-practitioner, very good at it as well. So, I've had people that have said to me, and it really fucking pisses me off. You know, you've been abused not from such a long age and that, does that not make you turn out to be abused and all that? And they know that, and that really pisses me off, do you know what I mean?
That people
don't
understand things,
is it? And but see, like for me, I was pulled him up and he used to get bad to say to me, they're on the floor, because I even put a 16 stone guy on his arse, and it was the guy that abused me, all thanks to the children's home. I put him on his arse with a punch, you know what I mean? And I'm, yes, you know what I mean? No wonder I want to join some sort of boxing gym or something, you know?
Can I just go back to what you said, James, about stepdad? So, obviously, you've got these thoughts that you want to hurt him, harm him, still, and there's that reason...
No, I wouldn't do that now.
Right, okay.
Why I wouldn't do that now?
Okay, yeah.
Because I'll lose all my family, I'll lose all the progress that I put in, all the hard work, the same things that I've been saying, sober to alcohol, doing well, and... You know, I've actually set myself a target this weekend. Even leaving my house. Not that I've got no reason not to. I'll go for a walk in that, but for the whole weekend, this weekend, I'm going to take my whole house because I've done not well.
I think you are setting a massive target just for a weekend.
Not because I've painted my kitchen in a day. Like, I just finished it yesterday and then the hall is painted.
Yeah.
You have to set yourself targets and do things like in the house and that to keep
your
mind going. If you don't want that, then you struggle.
Yeah, but keep it small targets because you're then still disappointed if you don't reach those targets. Okay?
I'll say it to you like just once. I'm very good at painting, very good. I'm good at painting houses. I'm good at gardening. You know what I mean? So if you've got a garden and you're good at a job, like painting and gardening, do it.
Okay, so James, going back to the question, what age did you leave care?
13-year-old.
Did they offer you any support after that?
I did nothing. And do you know, I actually know this because my friends are on my Facebook, we're in the care home, they're still care home as I was. And they said that they came from me. When you're a boy, you did not get any support, but if you were a girl, you get all the support. And
I think it's different. I think if you know a divergent and you don't get picked up, girl or boy, I think, it's different, isn't it?
In the children's home, you know, we didn't get any help. And then when we're in there, we didn't get to speak to a nurse for that when we've got mental health problems and all that.
No. It's
changed now
though, so they do that.
You have a sense of humour. You know what I mean? So I'm telling something that's different.
Yeah.
If you begin treatment of a person to your fellow assessment.
So in terms of the professionals that you've provided us the details of, do you give us consent to get copies of the records?
Everything from my doctors and all that have said that you don't need to contact them.
Brilliant. Would you like to see a copy of your care records?
I'd like to see a copy of the care records brought from the children's home.
Yeah.
That would be appreciated.
Yeah, okay.
That would, please.
So what's going to happen now is the process is going to take about 10 months. It might be longer, okay,
I'm going to be easier because my plan is I want to go for nursing next year. So I'm going to be easier.
Yeah, I would get yourself some stabilisation before.
I know, but once I get to my, like, my mental health clinic, I'm going to go for addictions and mental health nursing. Because
yeah.
I want to, this is a true story, and you can phone the doctor and that saved my life, got me sober. I spoke to a doctor, Ian Kerry, that Naval, and he said, after I left that hospital, and he said to me, before I left his room, James, I want to see you here again as my colleague.
Yeah, and it's good to have that target, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've even had patients in the same hospital thanking me for, you know, telling them it's never too late and stuff. I didn't see the conversations that he has between me and them, but see, the end of the conversations with me and a couple of the patients, a few of the patients actually, they stood up and frankly gave my hug, shook my hand.
Yeah.
You know? And that brings me once, that keeps me going, and
yeah.
My family, and yeah, it's like friends, but yeah, it's difficult with ADHD and autism. Yeah, it's so hard to put.
Yeah. So let me tell you about what's going to happen. I'll be your main point of contact until the end of the process. The number that's come up on your phone, that's my number. Okay, so store that on your phone. If you have any questions along the way, do give me a call. We're going to gather some information now for your case, and then once we've put it all back in, I'll give you a call again, and we'll clarify the information, and then we'll get that put forward to the Scratch Redress panel. You don't have to attend that panel, okay? It's closed door. But you'll be aware of the date that it's going to be held. But for part of our compliance, I need to just run through the options that are available to you, okay? And because our calls are recorded, I just need to make sure that you understand them. So you're entitled to do your own Scottish Redress claim independently and research your own evidence. You're able to have a solicitor from England or Scotland who have accepted to see a £2,000 back on your behalf on Scottish Redress. They don't charge you a fee because they're receiving up £2,000 from the Scottish Government. But they get that fee whether you win or lose, okay? And then there's ourselves at MMA Legal, and we can act on your behalf, but we opted out of that fee from Scottish Redress, and we only take 20% of the cap fee from the case if you win. So if you win, you don't get any fees, okay?
Yes, so I said to the solicitor, but it was a lady that I spoke to before the solicitor, and she was from yourself. And I said to her that I would prefer if I had one of your solicitors,
So, with MMA Legal, we're completely independent and we're actually so are you happy to stay with us, Okay. And you're entitled to a 14-day cooling-off period. Are you happy to wait 14 days, or would you like us to proceed and you agree with it?
We'll proceed with as written because I'm due some justice.
Okay, and have you used another law firm to do your claims for Scottish Redress?
No, and I wasn't. I'll sit you guys.
Okay, so...
My brother told me to contact yourself because he's a big job, and I'm from that either.
Lovely. Okay, so that's everything that I need to speak to you about today, James. Have you got any questions for me about the process?
No, that's all. Now I can go to the tennis courtroom that my answer is.
Lovely. And what I'll do is I'll send you a text message with some information on a place that you can ask for support at, and I'll write down what they do, and then you can access them yourself after you've been to the chemist, alright?
Thanks very much. Thank you. What was your name for?
Natalie.
I always forget.
All right.
That's a
busy
to take. Thanks, Natalie.
No worries.
Bye-bye. Bye.